When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Gráinne Maguire, and this is Chantel Fiduch and Pate.
Hello.
We bonded over our love of reminiscing about weird celebrity couples. The ones no one would believe happened if Google wasn't there to back it up.
We want you to join us as we remember when love was young, times were simpler, and we really thought that Angelina and Billy Bob Thornton were going to make it.
Every week, we're joined by a celebrity guest to discuss the showbiz romance they never got over. So take our hand and stroll down memory lane with us as we remember
the way they were.
Hey, Chantel.
Hi, Gráinne. How are you? Have you recovered from last week's hangover?
God, it's so cruel. I swear I used to be able to drink. Now
I don't. I don't even know you in your 20s, but I know for a fact that's a lie.
How are things? Last week met each other for the first time, not for the first time in real life, for the first time in too long in real life. And your hair was looking amazing.
Was it?
No, Chantel's is... Something's happening hair-wise with you.
Oh,
I'm
really?
I'm very excited for you. Yeah,
I think
yeah.
It's called, you know what it is actually? It's a really great tip, guys, if out there and you're wondering, what can I do with my hair? Just become so poor that you can't go back to the hairdressers. And then the hair color grows out, your roots come in, and the grays come out as well. So now you have like a tri-color barnet going on. And then your friends give you loads of compliments and you've saved tons of money. So that's my hair tip to you. Just get poor.
I always put off getting my roots done, and I spent, there's always like 1 week where I'm like, I'm growing my hair out. That's it. I'm growing my hair out. And then all the
going grey.
Yeah, going grey. I'm going to be so, it's going to be cool actually. This is a choice. This looks really cool. And then it's just like one picture where I'm tagged in somebody else's that I'm.
That's all it takes.
I'm sobbing on my knees in the hairdresser asking them to save me.
I'm not going to lie. I have a strong opinion about this and controversial opinions, one could say. I think the idea of going, of letting yourself go gray, of going gray is something I'm very much behind and you do it. But I'm not going to lie to you ladies out there listening. On the women, it works well on. It works great. But on the rest of us, myself very much included, it doesn't have the similar fabulous effect that I think we all think it's going to do for us. Just be careful. Just be careful.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Don't jump in headfirst into the going all gray lake.
We're an anti-gray podcast.
We're an anti-gray podcast. Fuck it. I'm for hair dye. Sorry, guys. I am. We're ironically kind of anti-Botox, but we're pro hair dye. We're women. We're complicated. Deal with it. You know what will turn my hair gray forever is if people out there add to my stress by not buying tickets to come see the live show. Honestly, while you're on your way to Superdrug to pick up your next box dye, get on your phone and head over to our Linktree and find tickets to our amazing live show coming April 3rd at the Museum of Comedy with the one and only Rachel Paris. Tickets are flying off the shelves. Get them while you can. Me and Gráinne, the way they were live. Come down.
Because we are a show that celebrates legends. We have got an absolutely incredible guest. She is one of the funniest acts on the circuit. And she is just a great bloody time. You're going to really enjoy this episode. It's so good. It was right messy one too.
Oh, it is. And we're featuring someone we've had before. We love getting a repeat Alan. We have Demi Moore once again to discuss. So one of our most popular episodes was Demi and Bruce. This is like Demi, the next chapter.
Yes. And you know what, Demi? She's never going grey, is she?
Oh, no. Someone who knows to keep that hair dye up is Demi and Cher. They know what they're doing.
And joining them in that we've got Demi, we've got Cher, and we've got Olga Koch.
The way they were.
Hi, Olga. Hi!
There she is. Hi, thanks for being with us today.
Sorry, now I'm completely obsessed with my background. Give me one second.
Oh my goodness. She better make it like real. Oh yeah, put that picture out. There's a picture on the side there. I kind of want that to come out.
What's that book? There's a red book there.
Yeah, maybe you should get the maybe you should get
that's
the
Monica Heisey's book.
Yeah, I have that book. I lent it to Gloria. Maybe you should get the there's like a poster in the background. You could turn it so it's facing us.
That is
comedian Ray O'Leary from New Zealand, and I think without addressing it, it would be quite unsettling to have
just to have that
stare
in the background
at us the entire time. Yeah.
And fair. We're so happy to have you on the podcast because we do consider you. You are comedy sweetheart.
Oh my God, sweetheart. Who said that?
The streets. People have been saying it.
Well, thank you very much for saying that. I'm honored to be here.
All the newspaper boys say it when they hand out the papes. Okay. comedy sweetheart.
Yeah. I'm on my way to perform at a USS. Is that? That feels in line with that. Entertain the troops.
Yeah. Patriotic.
Pin up calendar. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a romantic?
I'm a huge romantic. Huge romantic. Just before this started recording, I was describing to my boyfriend why I think he has a perfect face. And the entire time I was like, I don't know if they can hear this. Because if they can, they're probably cringing. But he does have a perfect face, so...
Oh my God, you actually think that way about it. How long has it been?
Well, I've known him since 2018, but we've only been dating for 9 months. So obviously, I still think he has a fucking perfect
face.
Obviously. Ask me in a year, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe exactly.
So was it like a will they, won't they before you got together?
Oh, it was gorgeous. We were best friends. We were best friends. Best friends forever.
Then what happened? You said 2019. So then what happened to 2019?
No, 2018 we met.
Oh, you got together 9 months. Sorry. So what happened 9 months ago?
Yeah, what happened? Did you take your glasses off?
Or should I say, when is it due?
9 months ago, I was in Australia doing gigs, and I was away. The first time I've been away for that long in our friendship, and he sent me a voice note saying that. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm saying this.
Oh.
He left me a voice note saying, it's a 7-minute voice note that said that he missed me so much I left a gaping hole in his life. And I was like, wait a second. So I played it to everyone there and they were all like, it sounds like one of you is dying. And so I called him and I was like, is this platonic? And he says, yes, what do you mean? And then that started a game of chicken. He
fully rejected my God.
He was like, I can't risk our friendship. And then we just made out. So.
Oh
my God. I like how you were so scared of telling us that story here, even though you also in the story said, I played it for everyone in Australia. Everyone's heard the voice.
This is true. And halfway through our makeout, because he rejected me and then we started making out, then he said, tell me I'm being a coward, which is, Richard Curtisian, I would
say. So now we're getting an insight into your kink as well. I love it. Okay. They're into humiliation kink. I got it.
I love it. I think my whole life I've never been in a will they, won't they. And I think that's what I regret most to my deathbed.
There's still time, Grania. There's still time. Who knows?
Well, speaking of very romantic couples, so as yet, Chantelle does not know who we're about to discuss in great detail. Me and Olga do. So I'll provide a few breadcrumbs to lead Chantelle towards the way of romance. I can tell you, our couple got together in the golden year of 2003. 2003, baby. Let me set the scene. It's the year the space shuttle Columbia disintegrates in its re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere. The Human Genome Project is completed and Greta Thunberg is born. So again, we don't know that these influenced the couple getting together, but we don't know that they didn't.
Exactly.
That's a really, really good point. Also, from memory alone, I don't guarantee that this is true, but okay. If you need a sort of like soundscape, I believe what's charting at the time is Beyonce's debut album. Crazy in Love is in the charts.
So Crazy in Love is in the stations, in the club. Okay.
Then Black Eyed Peas' debut album, we're thinking, Where is the Love?
Okay,
Where is the Love? So that's what's
going on. With Timberlake on the chorus of that. Yes, well remembered. Okay, 2K3, I'm there. Okay, go on.
Well, who's going to have a good night? It's this couple. This angel got punked in love.
Is it Ashton Kutcher? Obviously, it's Ashton Kutcher. Okay, but 2003, is it? Oh my God, is it Ashton Kutcher and Brittany fucking Murphy?
No. We're not, I wish.
Not going there. They were great. He didn't kill her.
I know, but it's quite obvious. It's obvious who won that split. Which one is still alive? She. Oh, let me continue.
Brittany
won.
Demi Moore.
Oh, correct.
But I have an interesting quote from. She's past Brittany Murphy about Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, which we will get to because it's an incredible quote. Incredible quote. The best quote. It's incredible. I can't wait to tell you. I'm so excited about this. I'm activated. Let's go.
Okay. So in case you've been living under a rock for the past 20 years, Demi Moore, Hollywood icon, Ashton Kutcher, sort of TV actor. He had sort of a rom-com moment around this period. These are the players. So before we get into the weeds, Olga, what was it about this couple that even now, all these years later, you still think about them?
To me, this is a textbook romance for what feminism promised us in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Because in the early 2000s, feminism meant women will just act like men. Mm-hmm. And I think Demi was the poster child for that. She's like, oh, men like dating younger women? Well, I'll date a younger man. There was so much like almost tabloid propaganda about how unorthodox but happy the family was. Like, there will constantly be photos of her and Bruce Willis's three daughters, Bruce Willis's new young wife, mm-hmm. then Ashton's there, and then Demi's there, and they're all laughing, and everything's fine, and everything
friends.
Is great. Yeah. And you're all like, maybe this brand of feminism works. Maybe they are happy. Maybe this is wonderful. And then I remember Ashton talking about her in a really, like, lovely way. He kept on mm-hmm. saying, like, I love to surround myself by people who I think are smarter than me, and it was just gorgeous. And then... recently she came out with a book. Did I read the book? No. Did I listen to a podcast where two people did read the book? Absolutely. And so a couple of things that emerged were, like, she was not happy. She was constantly felt pressure to have threesomes with much younger women in order to keep him interested. She was, like, obsessed with keeping him interested, and he mm-hmm. kept slipping away. It turns out all the kids thought it was weird that he was their age. Made them feel super uncomfortable. It wasn't this, like, poster family of, like, a new normal. It was hell. And so I think it's just a perfect encapsulation of the false promise of the brand of feminism that is women should just act like men. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Indeed. Did she invent cougar? Like, was she the one that was the poster
woman for
cougar?
It was the moment.
Cougar?
It was that
moment.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
She was definitely it.
Yeah. She's 42. She's 42 years old, but for some reason, men still want to have sex with her. Let's base a TV series starring Courtney Cox on that crazy concept.
Was she only 42? Was Demi only 42?
She was 42.
God, that's so young. Jeez Louise.
Have you seen pictures of her recently? She is gorgeous. She is stunning. It has been over 20 years and she is still.
It's really good. She had a moment when the filler didn't look good, but the filler has settled again. She's getting the right injections. It's working as well. Good. She has, and I still maintain, the best surgeon in Hollywood. Hers and Cher's are just, you can't spot it. It's incredible.
Well, speaking of powers beyond our control, Demi's refusal to age.
Yeah.
And obviously, they're star signs. So I can tell you, Demi, Scorpio,
it's going to be hard to defend. Nightmares, absolute nightmares. My sister's a Scorpio. I'm a survivor.
Oh, God. Okay. Fingers crossed this isn't too triggering. Ashton, Aquarius.
Aquarius is so rare. We never get Aquarius. I want to get more of them. I'm happy to hear it. It's going to be a tough one, though.
So, Olga, what I want from you is a percentage, a number that you think, given the knowledge we've given you that this is a Scorpio and Aquarius, what percentage chance do their star signs give of this match ever working out? What do you think? What's your hunch?
5%. It's giving low. It's giving low to me.
Okay.
I'd
say Scorpio with anybody is giving low to me.
They're tricky.
I'd like to once again give out the message to all of our Scorpio listeners, even though we routinely put you down. Those of you that are in our lives, we love dearly. But in any case, it is a dreadful star sign.
I never said that.
And Olga's also related to, we're all like related to them.
We've all got lived experience of Scorpios.
To be fair, my Scorpio people have always been the best ones. I mean, I have lucky Scorpios. Anyways, Scorpio and Aquarius. I feel like this, I have to say, I think Olga's right, because I just don't see how these two star signs are going to work. I'm going to, I'll mix it up by going 15%.
Okay.
15%. I don't have a lot of high hopes.
Well, I can tell you, there is much chance for friction here. Start
there
sexy.
There you go.
Where Scorpio, to me, faces their inner emotional world directly and with intense energy, Aquarius Ashton takes that same sort of energy and turns it outward. With their unusual, idealistic, and above all else, very social outlook on life, Aquarius Ashton seems to be an odd choice for the more introverted Scorpio, to me.
This makes sense.
In the Aquarius and Scorpio relationship, they don't fall in love at the same time. Scorpio, to me, is the one who falls in love first. Then Scorpio, to me, is stuck waiting around for Aquarius, Ashton, to figure out what's going on at the time. Ashton is slow to trust and even slower to love. Say the word commitment and watch Aquarius, Ashton, take off like a tumbleweed in a sandstorm.
God, this seems pretty authentic. Okay, this seems pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Compatibility, 9%.
Oh my God.
Smack in the middle.
Split down the middle. We called it. We called it. Yeah, we knew. It was never meant to be these two. It was wrong. It's because she's old.
She stays winning, though. She's now in a Ryan Murphy series, and what he's defending a sex offender. So, you know what I mean?
Listen. We haven't got there yet, Olga, but I think I know where you're going to line up with
you. Before we see their future, let's have a little peek of their past. So, Demi, obviously, by the time she meets Ashton, she's a Hollywood icon. She's dated Emilio Estevez, Bruce Willis. Now, at this time, she's taken time out from her Hollywood career, post-divorce from Bruce, to work on herself and to heal. But she is smoking. She is back. She's doing Charlie's Angels Reloaded. She is in her empire period. Meanwhile, Ashton, he's dated Brittany Murphy.
Oh, R.I.P.
And January Jones. And he's just sort of having his big breakout moment. He's getting parts in rom-coms. And a little MTV show called Punk'd has made him the man of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They meet in a hotel room in New York. So they're all going for dinner with a mutual friend. And he's in town to host SNL.
Of course he is. Young,
oh, that is
hot,
irresistible.
Hunk.
That is
literally
irresistible.
He's the Jacob Elordi of his time. He really is.
Oh, man.
So he's like the hot young thing. In fact, Demi said that, so this is the first time she met him. They're mutual friends in a hotel and he's walking around in the hotel in just a towel.
Oh, don't forget he's 6 foot.
He was also
four. Just do not forget.
And he was a male model. He was a male model.
Yeah, of course he was. Yeah, he's stunning. Yeah, he's gorgeous.
So this is how Demi describes their first sort of moment. I stepped out of the room to call my children to say goodnight. I was on the phone to them saying, I love you and I miss you. And there Ashton was. He stood there and he looked right at me and he said, that is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
Oh, God.
He paused and then he closed the door. So I knew I had encountered something really different.
He was an old soul.
And again, back in the time where, like, if a woman is calling a young man an old soul, that's somehow progressive and cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So at
different
dinner,
time.
At dinner, he tells her all about growing up in the cornfields of Iowa. Mm-hmm. He goes to her apartment and they stay up the entire night talking. She says it feels like they were carrying on a conversation they'd had for years. It was just like meeting somebody that I'd just known, where you just recognize one another. It was so disproportionate, the level of emotion we were experiencing to the time that we'd spent together.
So I am right in saying that he's 26 and she's 40. Is he 26? That seems to be in my brain.
I think he's around 25 and she's 41.
Okay.
Because the thing is, like, my knee-jerk reaction is to always root for the woman. But then I'm like, if a dude was saying this about a 25-year-old girl,
yeah, exactly. As someone who's not that much older than Demi is at the time, and I can imagine finding a 25-year-old hot, and I can certainly imagine having a nice conversation, mainly because he's 25 and hot, and that's great. But I can go, oh God, this guy's quite smart for a 25-year-old. But every positive thing I said about him would always be accented with for a 25-year-old. It would never just be on its own because I would always be so aware of that. And I can't imagine finding a 25-year-old so engaging at my age that it wouldn't, their 25-year-old-ness wouldn't come out to me within a week or so. Do you know what I mean? I just don't.
Especially since her kids were his age. Like, that's makes it even creepier.
Yeah.
It's not just like a stranger. It's like, no, this is someone like your daughter would hang out with.
Yeah, exactly.
Olga, what about you? Have you ever been attracted to a fresher gentleman?
Oh, I only date younger men. This is like genuinely true.
Have you done this much? What is it, 17 years, 15, somewhere in there?
I think I've never gone over 5.
Same.
But I've always been older.
And do you think, like, you know, what are the advantages of being the older woman in a relationship?
Oh, I don't know if there are any.
There aren't. I'm the older woman in mine as well. And there, aside from you do all the laundry.
I guess, no. There's a lot of mommying going around, which is great. I'll say, but I guess it's exciting to introduce them to new types of cheese. You sort of like, I can show you the world on a very low budget. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's how you fold a fitted sheet.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
You make homemade pesto once and they're done. They're ready.
Oh, because I can't believe it. I thought it only came in jars. No, do it.
No, that's you. You only come in
now
jars.
Now I am with Demi and Ashton. She must have just been like, here's how pasta. What? She's blown away.
So they're in New York. They've just met. So he hosts SNL. And in between, he's like texting her the whole time. And she's like, oh my God, this guy I've just met. And he's hosting SNL and he's texting me backstage. Then she's supposed to fly back to LA the next day. And a storm means the airport is closed down.
So she's stuck.
So to me, it's like, this is a sign. It's a sign.
It is a sign. Go get railed by a 25-year-old. Don't marry him, but definitely go get railed by him. Yeah.
So this is how Demi describes how she felt. She said, she was 40 years old. I was a 40-year-old who had a big life and Ashton's adult life was just beginning. Mm-hmm. I didn't see all that because I was inside it. I just felt like a 15-year-old girl hoping somebody liked me.
Cute.
So it's kind of, there's a lot going on here. First of all, Ashton is, he's experiencing fame for the first time. She's been famous for 20 years at this stage. Mm-hmm. But then also, I mean, listen to our Demi Bruce Willis episode. She's had a hard life. Like, she had to do a lot of growing up very quickly. So suddenly, you know, her kids are grown up. So maybe she's like, finally, I can be like the carefree teenager I never was.
That's right. She's very much reliving her youth. I'll give you that. Yeah.
So they go on their first proper date at an In-N-Out Burger in Los Angeles. Demi says they are sexually intimate in a way she hadn't been able to in previous relationships because she was able to open up to him about past experiences. So she's done the trauma. She's done the work. You know, she's done all the therapy. So she feels like she's in sort of a healthier emotional space.
She's done the yoga so she can do all the fucking positions.
So Demi starts hanging out with Ashton and then she uses the private jet to fly him to meet her daughters. And then he's to fly back on the private jet. By the way, this is the first time Ashton has ever been on a private jet and her, Demi and Bruce just like share one, so it's no big deal. But she rings up Bruce to say, oh, by the way, because he was like flying back and she thought Bruce might be getting into the jet when Ashton getting out. So she said, just, you know, Ashton is in the jet. And Bruce immediately assumes that she's flown Ashton out to meet the girls as like a treat.
Yeah.
She did that with Aaron Carter one time where she flew Aaron Carter to meet the kids at Disneyland. So he assumed that that was the only reason he could come up with about why Ashton was hanging out. And she had to go, oh no, it's because we're dating.
That's fun.
That is cool. Sorry, I hate it. I hate it, but I love it.
It is a flex. If you're dating someone and you can say, oh, I'd hate the private, like she knew exactly what she was doing and it 100% worked on
her. Yeah, and she like owned her ex-husband as well to be like, yeah. Oh no, we're fucking.
Oh no, he's not, he's not fucking our daughters. He's fucking me, so.
So the big moment, and I think that's what Olga, you were talking about earlier, it's such an iconic moment. June of that year, so they've only been dating less than a year. Charlie's Angels, full throttle, red carpet happens, and she's there with Bruce's new partner, Ashton, and her kids.
And perfectly sleek hair. Just yeah. perfect. Like, even Jennifer Aniston was like, what straighteners do you use? Like, it was perfect.
You could see your own reflections in it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah.
It was an amazing picture. It was a really great time to be. Was she already rocking the very trendy Kabbalah red bracelet at this point?
Well,
oh my God.
Was that in that picture as well? That's a huge part of this relationship as well.
Yeah.
So she says they start studying Kabbalah together.
There you go. Because they heard about it from Madonna.
And they go to Madonna's house every week.
This is the most 2003 thing I've ever. Oh, honestly. My God, it's really bringing me back.
They're all using their BlackBerry flip phones. Oh, I love it.
So they are the it celebrity couple. And oh God, I think this is a good time for us to check in with them. They're everywhere. They're the moment. She's like gorgeous. He's the hot new guy. So what? Imagine bring. A flip phone has just gone off in your pocket. And it is Ashton and Demi. They're in town. It is 2003 and they want a night out with you. Not in a creepy way that Ashton would suggest later on in the relationship. I'm talking, it's just a fun night out with the celebrity it couple. What do you imagine a night out like Ashton and Demi in their pomp being like?
What city are we in?
You can choose.
I mean, she has a private jet, Olga. You can
This is true. I say we do a Vegas thing.
Okay.
We do a night in Vegas. Actually, we hit up a daytime pool party.
Cool. Yep.
At Caesar's Palace? I don't know.
I have no idea.
And then, oh my God, Ashton's modeling buddies are there. And I guess like they think we're having a, me and one of his model friends, and then Demi and Ashton, we're doing that thing in the pool where you need to wrestle and get.
Oh, the girls are on the boys' shoulders.
Yeah.
So that's like a fun thing that happens.
I see head, you and Demi both have matching like poker straight hair.
Yeah. But mine is blonde as her and her is black. And that's just gorgeous. And then it turns out we have VIP seats to David Copperfield because obviously the year is 2003 and we need to see some magic, baby.
Yeah.
We do some cocaine with Siegfried and Roy. Yeah, I just think that it will be phenomenal. I think it will be so. Oh, and then like maybe David Copperfield, because we're in the VIP, is like, haha, let's get Ashton on and cut him in half.
He'd love that. He's a real ham, Ashton. So he'll be in
yeah. He's what do you being imagine? Punked. They're he's like, oh, being sorry. Punked.
He's being punked. What do you imagine their dynamic is between them as a couple? Do you imagine like they're very touchy feely? Do you imagine they're very romantic? Do you imagine she's doing the talking, he's doing the talk? What do you imagine them being like as a couple?
The thing is like I think we constantly talk about why it was exciting for her to date him. But I'm really interested in delving into what he was interested in her. Obviously, she's a very, very, very sexy lady. But I don't think it's just that. It's surely a sort of maybe like maybe he felt validated like by old Hollywood. Like now he felt like more secure and more permanent in Hollywood because he had the approval of like a sort of veteran. So I do wonder if there, at least in the beginning of the relationship, there was a sort of. Is it reverence? Is that the word? Like the way that he enjoyed that she showed him the ropes. Again, as Grania said, this was his first time on a private jet. So she was showing him this world. And I guess that maybe was exciting. So if I'm out with them, I feel like she's the boss and he's sort of being the fun guy. So if she's like, let's do this. And he's just like, oh, yeah, okay. Do you want me to take my top off? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? And that I think would be fun to be around because I think I would just like dare him to do a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
I can imagine him spending a lot of time telling her like how amazing she is. A lot of kind of, well, God, you're Demi Moore, for God's sake. Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
I can't believe I got you. Very sort of Pete Davidson with Kim K vibes. Yeah, kind of very kind of, oh my God, you're so amazing. I can't believe I get to be with you. And you're just this incredible actress. And of course I'll do that to me. You're fucking Demi Moore with your private jet. Oh my, I imagine, not in a fake way at all. I think he genuinely feels that way about her. And particularly having... He must be, if he's 25 now, he's probably banged his way through a lot of like starlets in Hollywood. So to have where he's kind of the one in control and saying, let's go here, let's do this, and kind of a bit bored by that maybe. So perhaps being with someone who's not really going to be like in awe of him very much, but still like him a lot. Must be quite nice. It's kind of a power almost balance because he's got the power of being, you know, young and at the upstart, and she has the power of being older, but, you know, has more behind. Yeah, there's a lot. So it's kind of, I can see why both of them were into each other. And on top of that, they were both extremely hot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Extremely hot. Did I mention he's 6'4"? Just make that very clear again. And that Bruce Willis is very much not 6'4". So Demi really deserved that.
All that hair. Demi must be like, oh my God.
I know, all that hair and height. Jeez. For that reason alone, fuck it, I'm wrong. Marry him, Demi. Screw it.
So, 2005, Ashton hosts SNL again. And Moore makes a cameo appearance, joking about their 15-year age difference. In his opening monologue, he introduces Demi to the audience, and she's dressed up like one of the Golden Girls in a little frame.
Clever.
Fun. So it was fun.
They can laugh at themselves, guys. See, they're cool.
Listen, they're in on
it. But also in 2003, 40 was old, which is crazy. Like, now thinking about it, I'm like, 40 is so young.
That's Kim K. Kim K is 42. And no one
dares about, like, who in the world would want to have sex with Kim Kardashian. It's like,
exactly.
Yeah,
and when she dated Pete Davidson, which is almost the exact same age difference, that was not really, it was more like, oh my God, this guy, but it wasn't really about the age difference.
Never.
You know?
It's crazy.
Because Kim Kardashian has destroyed the concept of time.
Yeah. To me, which by the way, to me did start. So Kim is just following the trend.
So sadly, there were some things to me didn't have control over, because it's around this time she gets pregnant. She's really happy. And then sadly, 6 months into her pregnancy, they suffer a miscarriage. So this is like a really traumatic turning point in their relationship, because she said it was the first time that she was like aware that there were certain aspects of her body that she did not have control over. And, you know, as gorgeous as she looked on the outside, there are some biological realities about woman being a woman in her 40s that she just had no control over. Mm-hmm. So she says, I can't even bring fully to words how lost, empty and desperate and confused I was. I really lost sight of everything that was right in front of me, which was the family that I had. This bit gets a little bit confusing, so I'm just going to flag it up, because just when I was doing the notes, I was finding it a little bit confusing. So around this time, two things happen. She becomes like obsessed with getting pregnant, but then also relapses. And I find it just a little bit confusing, because she's not an idiot. Those two are quite mutually exclusive. So yeah. I think when I talk about this, I'm going to give like... to me, obviously, the benefit of the doubt that these two, although in her book, it seems like because it's a bit muddled about.
It seems concurrent, but we're going to presume they were separate.
They were like separate periods of the relationship. So I apologize if I make it sound like these are happening at the same time, because obviously I presume that they weren't. But anyway, she starts drinking again. She said, Ashton was enjoying a glass of good red wine when he said, I don't know if alcoholism is a real thing. I think it's all about moderation. I want to be that girl, the girl who could have a glass of wine at dinner or do a tequila shot at a party. And in my mind, Ashton wanted that too.
Well, that's the 25 coming out.
So she starts drinking with Ashton. She starts getting drunk around her kids for the first time. And she starts throwing herself into planning the wedding.
Of course, the wedding. Lest we forget.
So September 24th, 2005, Demi and Ashton get married in a Kabbalah service.
Of course.
In Demi's house. So it was like one of those things, which I just think is the chicest thing ever, where they're like, oh, it's just a house party. We're just coming around. And then the people
arrive.
Oh,
they did one of those. And then surprise, we're getting married.
Oh. Yeah. So this is what Ashton says in an interview after they got married. When I'm putting up a front, she calls me on it and I call her on her crap. I love being with her. She makes me a better person. She looks fantastic. And even if she didn't, I would still love her. The age difference makes no difference. I never even think about it.
Okay. Oh, speaking of, can I say the great thing that Brittany Murphy said about them? It was around this time. She was interviewed by someone, one of the late night shows, I don't know which one, and I'll probably paraphrase what she said precisely, but it's always stuck with me, that they asked her, oh, so your ex, Ashton Kutcher, is going out with Demi Moore now, they're getting married, what are your thoughts on this? And she said, well, I think it's actually wonderful, because it shows that she doesn't care about age. No, he said that he doesn't care about age, and she doesn't care about size, which is just...
Oh, that is,
and then she
gorgeous.
Kind of giggled to the audience, to the audience, and everyone like, "Whoa!" And
that cheered. Is gorgeous. That is gorgeous.
And it was great. It's great. Easy breezy.
Oh, Brittany. So, but then also there's sort of signs in interviews that maybe things are kind of less happy than maybe appearances suggest.
And also, can we just acknowledge the press on these two was insane. This was like, this is often forgotten how hounded these two were as a couple. Like, I cannot
peak tabloids
enough.
As well.
Peak tabloid. Every interview they did, they would both complain about tabloid. And you know, when a celebrity's complaining about it in an interview, like, that's a bad sign because they're not meant to do that. So if it's angering them that much that they're both of them keep bringing it up, it was mental how much these two were hounded. They never had a chance.
So Ashton says in an interview, "I'll start talking about something that happened during my wild bachelor days. And Demi will put her hand over my lips and say, that's BD before Demi. Don't talk about that. It's only us and now that matters."
Yikes.
So
that's not great for anyone to say, I don't think. I think if you can't, what are your thoughts on that, Olga, about speaking about previous relationships or exes?
Oh, I mean, obviously she's controlling and that's not great. But like, to me, that is a cry for help. That's like, she knows they're sinking. That's a person who's obviously not secure in their relationship. And that's
what I was going to say, just very insecure as well. Yeah.
So also around this time, Twitter is popping. And these guys are a big Twitter couple.
Right, Ashton was like one of the first investors, and he was like essentially a spokesperson for Twitter. I remember him going on Larry King Live and explaining what Twitter is.
Explaining to Larry King. I mean, say what you want about Ashton Kutcher, the guy's not dumb. He knows what to invest in.
He invested into Uber as well, apparently.
Yeah, he's pretty clever with stuff like this. And yeah, and I'm sure you're going to get to it, Grania, when he iconically posted the picture of her bending over, that ass picture of her and how she found it at the time and stuff. But yeah, they were massive on Twitter. I forgot about that.
I need to
that.
Look this up. What is this bend over?
She was bending over rain. It wasn't a particularly like bad picture, but I think she found it quite unflattering. Well, a bit like when Russell Brand posted that picture of Katy Perry with no makeup. Not quite as bad as that. But I think she was a bit like,
It's kind of with everything you could say about Russell Brand, not quite as bad as that. That's not very high.
Good one. Very true. But yeah, I just remember that weird photo to post without someone's consent. It's a weird photo. And if I think most girls would agree, if you were like folding laundry, whatever she's doing in that picture, and your boyfriend posted it, you'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? It's not great. And it does seem a bit like, he must have known she's not, you know what I mean? It was like, did he do it knowing this was going to kind of get her up, rub her up the wrong way?
So she, and I think it's that picture that you're referring to. So her Twitter handle was Mrs. Kutcher.
That's right. I remember that. That's such a mistake. Oh, she was so new to Twitter.
It was like her and a bunch of 13-year-old girls. She had to be Mrs. Kutcher.
She was actually
like 101.
She was actually Mrs. Kutcher
321. Yeah.
So, and then he puts up a picture. I don't know if it's that one or another picture where she's like basically vomiting into a toilet bowl.
Oh, God, I don't remember that one. But I will get all of these for the Instagram post when this episode is released.
So she said, when I went too far, so she's talking about when she was drinking during this period, he let me know how he felt by showing a picture he'd taken of me resting my head on the toilet the night before and basically putting it on Twitter. It seemed like a good natured joke at the time, but it was just really shaming.
That's not good natured.
What a fucking asshole.
Yeah, that's not good. I wouldn't even want to, that's not even a good thing to show to your partner the next day. Even just you and them is pretty mean, much less publicly.
You see your partner suffering and your first instinct is to take a photo of them.
That's a picture.
Fucking red flag.
Yeah. So around this time, she's drinking too much and she nearly drowns in a hot tub in Mexico.
Okay.
And Ashton's response is to kind of get mad at her.
Okay. This is where, again, the age is coming through. Okay.
Like, she's been a real killjoy.
Yeah.
Then she starts taking Vicodin. Again, Ashton and then her daughters as well are getting really worried about her. So she has to go cold turkey by herself.
Does this make sense if you consider that earlier on, Grania, you said how Ashton said, I don't really believe in addiction. So it would make sense that his response wouldn't be sympathy, but rather anger. Like, why can't you just fucking stop doing this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She doesn't actually believe it's like an addiction. So this tracks. I'm not surprised.
Then around this time, he's filming a raunchy film with Jennifer Jason Leigh called Spread. And he tells to me that Jennifer Jason Leigh doesn't feel comfortable with her coming to the set. Demi later finds out. What? What do we think the real story is?
Was he shagging Jennifer Jason
Leigh? No, not that bad. But who actually doesn't want Demi coming to the set?
He doesn't want her.
Oh, no.
But also, isn't spread about him being a young guy who's like, he's like a sex worker for older women?
I think so. That rings a bell. Maybe that's another reason why he didn't want her to come to set.
Yeah. It's a bit too close to the bone.
So she starts getting really insecure about her age, and she becomes obsessed with getting pregnant. She becomes so obsessed with it that it starts affecting her relationship with her daughters. And it's also really making her think about her age for her first time. So this is what she said. The girls were angry that I'd become so dependent on Ashton. I was addicted to him is the best way I can put it. And I did all the things that addicts do. I prioritized my addiction over my needs and the needs of my family. I made strange, unconvincing justifications for my behavior and his.
Oh, goodness. So the kids weren't into this from the very beginning, I guess, were they?
So that that the new normal photo shoot at the Charlie's Angels 2 premiere, that was never true.
That's just kids doing what they're told by their parents. That's just well-raised kids. You just go along with it.
I think from reading her book, it was more that they saw how much her marriage to Ashton was making her change. And I think mm-hmm. that was really hard for them. Okay, if you think things couldn't get... Now Ashton introduces the idea of threesomes.
If not now, when?
Oh my God, to a woman who's taking Vicodin and is obsessed with being pregnant.
And obsessed with being pregnant.
Oh no.
Oh my goodness. Go on.
I put him first. So when he expressed his fantasy of bringing a third person into her bed, I didn't say no. I wanted to show him how great and fun I could be. They were good people, but it was still a mistake. I was strangely flooded with shame. I couldn't shake the feeling that this whole thing was somehow my fault.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You should never be going into a threesome because for those reasons. Those are terrible reasons to have a threesome.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it just the whole thing is just, it feels like there's a real sort of like desperation. I think anything you do out of desperation, rarely being like, I'm so glad that happened.
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. It rarely ends well. And so far, all of her behavior seems pretty desperate. And that is a word that I know is unfortunately mainly put on women. So I'm aware of that it's always, you very rarely hear of a desperate man, or a desperate man is somehow sympathetic, a desperate woman is a clingy mess. Mm-hmm. But I include that in terms of her addiction is desperation. You know, she just desperate for someone to love her for her, mm-hmm. not for the person she's trying to be.
Well, some good news for Demi, because in 2010, she finds out he's cheated on her with a 21-year-old.
Yay, there we go. Is this the one where he was in the hotel room and they filmed him in sitting in the sink? I always remember he was sat in the sink of the hotel room bathroom. That coming up?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
But iconic also, video.
I want to hear everything about this video. I've never heard of it. But I think it's just so heartbreaking to hear that, like, this woman feels like she's not enough. She's not enough because she can't have a baby. She's not enough because she can't drink in moderation in a fun way. She's not mm-hmm. enough because she can't satisfy him sexually. So that, I don't know how to explain it. It's like that's really, really upsetting. But then you flip it over again and you're like, but she's the adult. Do you know what I mean?
And also she's... By the sounds of it, I agree with you. And also by the sounds of it, you kind of want to... Part of me is wondering, like, how many of these things are even real? Like, is he unsatisfied? Does he care about the pregnancy, or have you made that obsession to me? You know, is he that unsatisfied with you sexually, or did he mention a threesome and now you've got in your head that, oh my God, if I don't do that, he doesn't fancy me anymore? You know what I mean? How much of this is her just kind of losing herself, really, and becoming obsessed about things that aren't even that big of a deal? Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
And also... They're both A-list celebrities. She's been famous for 2 decades, and this is his first time experiencing all of this. And I think that is going to change somebody's personality. It's impossible to go to that level of fame and tabloid attention and not have it affect your choices, yeah. I think.
I don't think he's a great guy. I don't think he's acting really great, but I also resent the idea of asking a 25-year-old to act any other age than 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So this is how she describes finding out about his indiscretion. She said, "I remember the night they met. We were at a bowling alley with Rumour, and when he went to switch out our shoes, she gave him her number on a napkin, or that's what he told me at the time. When we got home that night, he showed it to me. I said, 'That is just gross. We were out with our kid.' I had a visceral response. It was revulsion. So the fact that he pursued her felt like a real fuck you."
Yikes. Our okay. kid. Rumour's his age, yeah. isn't she? Our kid. Ugh. Sorry.
Maybe referring to like a 20-year-old as his kid isn't helping things to me.
And then she said what made it more uncomfortable was this news story breaks, and then the very next day they have to give a talk about women. They have to give a talk at this big women's rights event.
Oh God.
Oh no, that's horrific. God. That is horrific. That's like a plot of a movie. But also, he clearly wanted to hurt her because he could cheat with literally anybody, but he cheated with the woman that she knew about.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then as well, the fact, God love her, if you're a 21-year-old working in a bowling alley and you've got like Demi Moore, you know, multimillionaire Demi Moore, to make Demi feel rubbish because this poor girl working in a bowling alley, it feels like a real, yeah, it feels like a real dig. We continue. So yikes. They carry on trying to make their marriage work. But she finally accepts that they're not going to be able to have baby without some real medical help. So she accepts they're finally going to have to use an egg donor. And, you know, it's this big process and she finally finds the right egg donor. Then she shows the information to Ashton and he tells her he doesn't want to do it anymore. He says, "I don't think I can do this. I don't know if this is working."
Well, I'm kind of on his side.
Man, he did already cheat.
Yeah, he's like, this obviously isn't a good place to bring it. He's actually the only one thinking straight right now, because she's, despite everything going on, still trying to have a baby with him, which is not a good idea. So yeah, good for him for saying that.
So she's devastated. She goes away to work, and when she comes back, she says she's changed towards her and says he wants to move out. And this is what I'm just going to say what she said, and you describe your reaction to this. She said, "I was blindsided."
Oh honey.
Sweetie.
Honey.
Two things can be true at the same time, listeners. He can be a bad guy here, and she can also be acting not very clearly. She can also be acting very clueless and not well. They can both be at fault in different ways here. And she is, imagine being, as Grania and I will often say, imagine being her friend.
Oh my god, that's such a good point. Babes,
of course, with the
Rita Wilson. Rita Wilson's on the phone.
Even Madonna's like, "I'm busy, honey." Like, literally, like, she's just, Jesus Christ.
No. Madonna yeah, is like, "Sorry, is this the kid from the 70s show we're talking about?"
I know. God, the word delusional doesn't do her justice. This is blindsided. Come on, Demi.
So she says that 2 weeks before, he just sent her an email saying that she made him the happiest man alive. So,
why is he emailing
on you? What?
Why are you emailing this? If someone emailed me anything like that, what? Relationship was doomed when she started emailing her husband.
I know, right?
He loves tech. He's an early adapter.
He's early adapter of email.
From his little Hotmail. He's an old soul. He's got a Hotmail.
An old Soviet Hotmail.
So, he agrees to marriage counseling. Okay, I'm not going to just say this next sentence, and I'm going to say it just like the horror film of how I reacted when I heard her say it, listening to her audiobook.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? "Then, the same weekend as their 6-year anniversary, he can't be with her because he's going to a bachelor party for Danny Masterson."
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, God. Okay.
That's the worst sentence in the English language.
Yeah. Okay. "Honey, it's Danny Masterson's bachelor party."
Oh, my God. At the time, no one knew. As far as we're aware, no one knew.
We just knew that he was a goddamn Scientologist.
Yeah, we knew that. We knew that. But Demi was used to that. She's got a lot of that in her life anyway. She's used to that. Go on.
So he comes back from Danny Masterson's bachelor party, stag do to our European friends. And he's acting weird.
Is this the one where we had the video in the hotel bathroom?
Then the next day, she heads to a film premiere and gets a Google alert saying, yep. Ashton Kutcher caught cheating, and she thinks it's about the bowling alley girl. Then she clicks on it, and it's a different woman.
Yep, this is the one that was filmed in the bathroom. But it did. But did she then reread that email he sent and think, oh, fuck it, it'll be fine?
And she recognises the same pickup lines that he used on her in the interview with the woman. And the woman said that he told her him and Demi were separated.
Yes.
Oh.
And in the video, he's talking about them being separated. He sat in a sink and he's talking about it.
Wait, why is he in the sink?
It's the most iconic part of the video, Olga. I don't know why, but for some reason he's like sat in the sink.
He's a goofball. He's a goofy, goofy, funny guy.
He's wacky. He's wacky. He's punky in the faucet. Who knows?
Look, I know the expression is pot calling the kettle black. Is that the expression?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I'm a gorgeous woman, but I hate it when hot people think they're funny. Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst.
But some of us really are.
But Ashton Kutcher think he's a little wacky. You're just hot.
Yeah.
Let people me sit in the sink. You.
Yeah. So I,
but hearing your boyfriend use the same line to use on you to someone
that's
else.
Horrific. I would kill to find out what these lines were.
Oh, I'd pay money.
So then she rings him up, he admits it, and then that very evening she has to do a red carpet.
I hate it when that happens.
In his meager defense, like Demi, he's cheated on you a few times now. He's tried to break up with you, like Jesus Christ. In Ashton's defense, he's made it pretty goddamn clear this relationship should not be happening anymore. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, again.
What are you doing to me? You're in your 40s. Come on. This all does add up to get me the fuck out of this relationship. Why won't you dump me or let me dump you? So, yeah.
And as well, it's very like he's a silly boy. He's in his 20s. He's just famous for the first time. And suddenly, like Demi... I mean, God love the girl. She's got addiction issues. She's had like a lot happen in her life. Now suddenly it's fertility issues. And that is like a lot. That's adulthood. That is like a lot for somebody, I think, in their 20s to suddenly have to
take on board. Yeah.
So November 17, 2011, Demi and Ashton finally announced their split.
How long were they married for then?
So they...
How long were they even together for?
2003 to 2011 is a lot for Hollywood. That's long time. That's 8 years.
I remember it was a big deal when they finally announced the split.
They were married for 6 years. 6 years all together.
That's longer than like it feels. It feels like it was like a flash in the pan, but it was a long time. And they were just... It was massive.
So I think we can kind of guess some of the elements involved, but Olga, I put you the big question of the pod, one of the big questions of the pod. Demi and Ashton, they seem so crazy about each other, like old souls finally reconnecting. But why do you think ultimately they couldn't make their marriage work?
Where do I begin? Fundamentally, I think what got them excited about the relationship was the power imbalance in many, many directions. Mm-hmm. And I think that was also the cause of their downfall.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think maybe the power balance like shifted, like, you know, as Demi just became sort of more clingy or more needy or more insecure about herself, maybe triggered sort of old traumas in her head. And then Ashton just became more comfortable being a celebrity. He wasn't maybe as in awe of Demi's fame as he had
at the
start.
Right. And once if you start out as kind of the cool one in the relationship, which she was, and then you stop being the cool one and become the kind of desperate one, it's really hard to get back to being the cool one.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he kind of like was in major respect for her, I kind of feel like he maybe just lost respect for her, to be honest. And that's really hard to claw back.
As the kids would say, it's the ick. She gave him the ick.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And the more she tried to like please him, the more he was like, oh God. And the more like of a pain in the ass she became. And then he began acting like a dick. And they should have just shagged for like a year. Just had really great sex. She could have, they just have really great sex for a year. Don't get pregnant. Don't get married. Just shag the guy. Enjoy the hair and the height. and then put it back on the shelf for everyone else to enjoy.
Yeah.
Would have been fine.
Yeah. So it took Demi a while to kind of put her life back together after this, because she had kind of really relapsed with her addiction issues, and it really put a strain on her relationship with her daughters. But now everything's back. She's back really close to their daughters again. She is very close to Bruce Willis and Bruce Willis's, you know, new family and his wife. And she's now dating chef Daniel Hum. So that's Demi.
She is.
Ashton.
Oh, she's back in a relationship. Good for her.
Yeah. Yeah. And with a guy, I think a chef. Oh, he's a Swiss chef.
Even better.
Oh, think of all the Toblerones.
I know, right?
He's 50. He's 47.
Okay.
Okay.
Same age difference.
She's keeping it. There's one thing she liked about Ashton. She has a new type, but she's sticking to it.
Yeah, but you can make her waffles in the morning. And Ashton went on to marry Mila Kunis in 2015. They now have two children.
Another Soviet queen.
So, with that information in mind, Olga, we do have to ask you to make a call. Yes. Everything lives in the nuance. We all live in shades of grey. But in a split, let's be honest, there is a winner and there is a loser. So in the great split between Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, who thrived and who simply survived?
As of recently, I'm going to say she thrived.
Yeah.
Because I do think, yeah, she's in that Ryan Murphy show. She looks absolutely incredible. And Ashton Kutcher really fucked up.
In the entire
Danny Masterson situation, in a way that is just horrific.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. If we'd recorded this, I think 2 years ago,
it would be a different story. Yeah,
it'd be a different story, and particularly where she was then and where he was then. But I think now, yeah, it's flipped so dramatically. I don't know how he or Mila will really properly come back, I don't think.
Yeah.
Also, that rom-com he did with Reese Witherspoon was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It had so much potential.
Yeah. And they had really awkward chemistry on the red carpet. Like, it was so bad. People were like, something's weird. So,
It didn't work.
Yeah. And I feel like there's people kind of had a lot of goodwill towards Ashton and Mila because, you know, they got together on, they knew each other in the 70s show. And then because the 70s show obviously has so much murkiness around it. And then also the fact that he was like, ironically, quite a bit older than Mila when they first met, and maybe how he spoke about her in interviews. There's just a real sordidness to Ashton, I think, now that there wasn't before.
Yeah, that there wasn't before. I think you're right. And now that Demi is kind of doing well again, she's back where we love her.
Yeah.
Looking great. The sleek hair is back. I don't know if you've noticed.
Hair is back. She's got those great aviator glasses that suit her so well.
She's
in a Ryan Murphy show.
I'm just saying, Drew, get in the writing room, write Charlie's Angels, The Reunion. Let's get going. Cameron's doing acting again. Yeah. What are we waiting
this
for?
Is true.
Well, Olga, thank you so much. We've got one more question for you.
We do. Another woman out there who has been maybe the original cougar in many ways. I think a lot of people would say about her, but she's the patron saint of this
podcast.
Similar
hair, very similar hair.
Very similar hair, actually. Yeah, I think she very much inspired to me, actually. And we ask all our guests to see if they can help us find someone to love her the way we believe she deserves to be loved. We don't say she needs someone. She simply deserves to be worshipped. So can you, Olga, put your thinking cap on and think of someone out there who could be with the one, the only Cher?
Who can be?
She's thinking.
Cher.
Olga's taking it seriously.
Jeremy Corbyn.
Jeremy Corbyn! She's going political!
Okay. Talk us through it.
Look, I'm all about... Wait, how old is Jeremy Corbyn?
No, age-wise, it's okay. Trust me, everyone's younger than Cher. Cher's older
than
him.
But what I'm saying... No, he's 74. And then Cher is
142.
Think, you know what's really important to me? The thing that really always breaks my heart in large age gap relationships is not the same frame of reference. I want them to go to the hop and be able to, I want them to do the thing where, like, remember this song? I want that to be, I want them to be able to do that with each other. I think that's one of the greatest delights you can have with a partner. Reminiscing over a niche TV show that everybody forgot, but was on for one season back in 1973. And so I think that will be wonderful and that'll be beautiful. I think he's not afraid of a strong woman.
You're right.
And the thing is, it's like he supports some great causes. And I think
she
is so likable that I think she can pull through. You know the way that like there were anti-vaxxers and then Dolly Parton made the vaccine and Dolly Parton can do no wrong because she has so much goodwill behind her that no, even anti-vaxxers couldn't really question Dolly. So I do think if people are on the fence with some lefty policies, especially in America, if anyone can push them through, it's Cher.
Yeah,
it's true.
Oh, Olga, thank you so much. You've been such an amazing guest.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's really, I really want to go deep dive the tabloids of 2003 now.
Oh my God.
There is so much. There
Peak
is
Paris and Lindsay
as well,
right?
They gave us a lot.
God bless.
Speaking of giving us a lot.
Yes, Olga, where can our listeners find you? Where can they find you?
Follow me on Instagram or on TikTok at Colga300 or on Twitter/X at Rockandrolga. I'm on tour all the time.
Because your Edinburgh show was like the smash hit.
You are too kind.
Sensation.
You are too kind.
Sensation.
It was the moment.
I took your comedy class. The only reason I have the job that I have today is because you taught me how to write a joke. This is just, those are just facts.
This is true. This is trickle down economics. Tell us the name of your tour and how long you're going on tour for.
So the show is called Prawn Cocktail. It is in the UK until end of March. Then it's going to Australia in April. And then it's going to New Zealand in May.
Oh my God.
Somewhere.
She's international.
Prawn Cocktail down under.
And your poor boyfriend, does he know that you're going back to Australia? Has he prepared himself for that?
He's coming to New Zealand.
Oh!
We can't go for longer than a month without seeing each other. Come on.
No more 7-minute voice notes, unfortunately. He learned.
I'll just re-listen to that one.
Go see Prawn Cocktail. It's a fantastic show. Genuinely one of the best hours of comedy at the Fringe. So you are in for a treat with our sweetheart, Olga. Thank you so much for being on the pod. Thank you, Olga.
The Way They Were is an Amanda Redman production, produced by Abby Weaver and Amanda Redman.
We want to hear your celebrity couple crush. So email us on thewaytheywerepod@gmail.com.
Or find us on Twitter at thewaytheywerepod and we're on Instagram at thewaytheywerepodcast.
Thanks to you for listening. Until the next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.
The way they were.